Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, reading verses 2 to 4. Luke 19, verse 2 to 4. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And our subject this morning is the work of God in Zacchaeus. The work of God in Zacchaeus. Now, this is the only time in the New Testament that we learn of this man Zacchaeus, only in Luke's Gospel. But nevertheless, this is a relatively well-known part of the New Testament. Almost all of our Sunday school children, I'm sure, they may not remember the names of many of the New Testament characters and people involved, but when they hear the name Zacchaeus, they will instantly remember, oh yes, I remember, he's the one who climbed up into that tree. Zacchaeus is very well known in that sense. And it is, of course, a very unusual encounter that he has with the Lord. But we can learn many things from this example of Zacchaeus, and I will endeavor to set these things before you this morning. Certainly we can learn things about how to seek God. If there are seekers in our midst, we can look at these passages and understand what it means to truly seek after the Lord, and endeavor to do so in the same way in which Zacchaeus did. But there will also be some challenges, perhaps, for believers also, and we'll consider these things as we go on. But let's go straight into this account, because there are quite a few things that I want to draw out, and hopefully they will be a blessing to you. But this man Zacchaeus, well, what do we know about this man? Well, we learn straight off in verse 2 that he was a rich man. He was chief among the publicans. What is a publican? Well, a publican in those days wasn't somebody who owned a pub or anything like that. He was a tax collector. That's what a publican was. Somebody who was employed by the Romans to collect taxes from the people. And the publicans, well, they had a very bad reputation. They were not liked by the population. The tax collectors, well, very often they were not only wealthy, but they were greedy. They were corrupt. They would demand more from the people than was actually necessary. They would go to the people and say, you have to pay this much tax, which was far higher than they actually had to pay. Why did they do that? Because they wanted some of the money for themselves. That's how they got rich. They would go to people and con them out of money. They were swindlers. They would lie and steal. Remember last week we spoke about stealing and how lying and stealing goes together? Well, this is the case for many of the publicans. They would lie to the people in order to steal their money. The publicans were not very much liked. And Zacchaeus, it will become obvious in this account, Zacchaeus, well, he was not very much liked, because no doubt he was one who would swindle. He was one who was also greedy, one who was also corrupt. And it was worse with him, Zacchaeus, because he was a Jew. Some tax collectors were foreigners, and they would take from the Jewish people the taxes for the Roman Empire. But if a Jew was a tax collector, well, it was like he'd betrayed his own people. A Jewish tax collector taking from the Jews for the Roman Empire, this was inexcusable. And so Zacchaeus, well, he was rich, yes, but he was not very well liked. He was hated, it appears, by the people. But we do read in verse 3 that he nevertheless sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, this was unusual. Why would a rich man, a rich tax collector, want to seek after Jesus? Those who followed the Lord Jesus, they were not normally rich people. They were not normally rich tax collectors. They were normally the poor and the needy and the hungry. They would follow after Jesus. So why would Zacchaeus? What moved him to seek after Christ? What moved him in such a way, as we shall see? Well, many people say, this is often mentioned by the commentators who speak on this account, many people talk about the curiosity of Zacchaeus. He was just curious to see Jesus, who he was. No doubt he had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. No doubt he had heard about all the great miracles we read at the end of chapter 18, about that blind man who had been healed miraculously by the Lord Jesus Christ. His sight had been restored. So no doubt Zacchaeus would have heard about that. He would have heard, most likely, about the feeding of the 5,000, about how the Lord fed so many out of just 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And people were saying so many things about the Lord Jesus Christ. People were saying, well, perhaps he's Elijah. Perhaps he's one of the prophets come back from the dead. Perhaps he's Jeremiah. Perhaps he's John the Baptist come back from the dead. So Zacchaeus was curious. I have to go and see what he is actually like. And this is the case for many people, we have to say. Many people begin to seek the Lord Jesus Christ out of curiosity. Many people, they've heard about the Christian faith. They know about the Bible. They've perhaps heard about the huge impact that the Bible has had over history. You can never know anything about history unless you know and understand the Bible and its teaching. Perhaps they've heard about these things, the impact and the influence it's had upon the most important men, noblemen, emperors, kings and queens. Well, even our queen, it's a much forgotten fact, but when our queen was, when she had her coronation in 1953, she was handed the Holy Bible, and it was presented to her as the most valuable thing this world affords. Even this queen was given this Bible. And people hear about these things and they're curious about the Christian faith. Or perhaps some people, well, they know other Christians and they see that these Christian people, well, they're different from other people. Christian people, they think in a different way. They act in a different way. They live in a different way. They're patient people. They're kind people. They're decent people. They see these things and they're curious. Why are they like this? I know other religious people, but they're not like that. But these Christians, why are they like this? I have to seek after their God. Maybe their God is real. So many people seek the Lord out of curiosity, just like Zacchaeus. By the way, again, this is a challenge for us as believers. If we present ourselves as Christians, if we say that we are Christians, do we actually live as Christians? Do people look at you and say, oh, this person is different. This person is a disciplined person. This person never swears. This person never gets drunk. This person is always patient, always kind. If you are, then people will take notice. Then they'll be curious about your faith. Oh, I wonder whether this religion is real because this person is so different. They'll take notice. But if you're not, nobody will take notice about your Christian faith. Nobody will care about your Christian faith. No matter how much you go about saying I'm a Christian, if you're just like everybody else, nobody will care about whether you want to speak to them about God or anything like that. Our conduct is very important. We have a great duty, we have a great obligation, because it's through our witness so often that people will endeavour to seek after God. So many people mention the curiosity of Zacchaeus, But I think, well, it's very obvious just reading this account that it was far more than just curiosity that Zacchaeus had. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press. That's the crowd, the multitude around him. There were so many people. And he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was not a tall man. He was very short. So if there were a lot of people there, he wouldn't have any chance of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he had every reason to just give up at this point. If he's just doing it out of curiosity, he had every reason to just give up. Well, I can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just go home. Maybe leave it for another occasion. He's bound to pass through on another time. But that's not what he does. He does something out of the ordinary. This is more than just curiosity. Verse 4, he ran before, he runs ahead of the crowd, and climbed up into a sycamore tree. He expends energy climbing into a tree. Remember, this is a rich tax collector climbing into a tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more than just curiosity. So he climbs into this tree, for he was to pass that way. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would come that way, and he had to see him. Well, so many things have been written about Zacchaeus up in this tree, and it's a wonderful illustration. But let me apply it to you in this way this morning. When somebody is up a tree, let's just take this very simply. When a child, for example, climbs up a tree, well, they're very often so proud of themselves, and they're very ready to say to everyone down below, I can see this, or I can see the tops of the houses, I can see that person way off in the distance, things that you can't see down there on the ground. I can see, I have a better view than you. I have an elevated view. That's why it's so wonderful. That's why children love climbing up trees, because they can see higher and better than anybody else. And you know, when people are seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, like Zacchaeus is, they start to have that view, that higher view, that elevated view of life. No longer do they have this earthbound view of life. A seeker doesn't just think about earthly things, about his studies, about his career, about what's on TV, about where his next meal is coming from. Now his view is elevated. He's starting to think about higher things, spiritual things. And I'm sure this was the case for Zacchaeus. I'm sure that Zacchaeus, he was so determined to see the Lord Jesus Christ because he had a higher view of his life. Yes, he was rich, very rich. He had status and luxury and so on, but he'd come to the point thinking, this is not all there is to life. This isn't all there is to life. There's far more to this. He was beginning to think about his soul, I'm sure. He was beginning to think about eternity. He was beginning to think to himself, yes, I'm rich, but spiritually I'm poor. My soul is very poor. I don't have any relationship with God. I don't have any understanding of high and spiritual things. I don't have any understanding of myself. I don't have any understanding of the world about me. My life has no meaning, no great meaning. My life has no purpose. These things would have been going through Zacchaeus' mind. He was starting to think on a higher level. And if only more people in this world would endeavor to do that, would seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is in a terrible state. Many people know and understand this. This world is in a terrible state, but they don't think higher than that. They don't think why this world is in a terrible state. Many people, well, they'll just think earthbound reasons. Why is this world in such a bad state? Well, they'll say things like, well, it's because of a lack of education. It's because of poverty. It's because of a lack of social justice. That's why this world is in a terrible state. There's no justice. Or perhaps they'll think about other things also. But somebody who's thinking higher, they'll think about the spiritual aspect. This world is in such a terrible state because they've rejected God, because they've rejected the Bible, because they've forgotten the gospel. That's a higher view. It's like Zacchaeus up in his tree. He can see better. That's what a seeker truly does. He thinks above the crowd. Doesn't think just like everybody else here below. His thoughts are a lot higher. This world is in a bad state, not because of these social issues, but because of spiritual reasons. Because people have rejected their God, because of sin. And this defines a true seeker. Are you thinking in that way? Are you thinking about your soul? These things we must do if we are to seek the Lord effectively. But let's look at what happens next. Well, he ran before, climbs up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord, for he was to pass that way. But well, something amazing happens in verses 5 and 6. When Jesus came to the place, came to the tree, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Well, this is amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ, he spots Zacchaeus up in the tree, and even though he had never met Zacchaeus before, he calls him to come down from the tree. Why? Because this day he must abide at his house. He will stay at his house as a guest. They were complete strangers. But the Lord Jesus Christ saw him and called him. And now they will be as friends, as it were. They will dine together. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, will enter into his house. And dear friends, this is a great encouragement. If you are seeking God, if you desire to know him, if you are thinking those higher thoughts, if you refuse to think just as everybody else thinks and thinking about God and spiritual things, if you are beginning to seek God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will find you. He knows that you are seeking after him, and he will find you no matter where you are. Even if you're a long way off, even if you don't really know how to pray, even if you don't really understand the Bible all that well, Christ knows that you're beginning to seek after him, and he will find you, just like he found Zacchaeus up the tree. He knew that Zacchaeus was seeking after him. And so when he got to that place, Zacchaeus, come down. That's what he will do with you. You don't have to be an expert in the Bible to become a Christian. You don't have to know all the history, the original languages and all that. You just have to begin to seek after him. Begin to pray. Begin to think higher. Christ will find you. He will find you. These are wonderful things. Tremendously encouraging for us. And then, well, verse 6, Zacchaeus, he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was so glad that the Lord had called him. But let's move on to verse 7 because time is running on. Look at the attitude of the crowd, those who were earthbound, as it were. Verse 7, and when they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone, the Lord Jesus Christ, was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. The crowd saw the Lord Jesus call somebody from the tree, and they said to themselves, but this is Zacchaeus. He's a wicked man. He's a swindler. He's a robber. Surely the Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, he will want to call down somebody good, somebody who's nice and moral. Surely he'll want to call down a good person, not this sinner that everybody hates, not Zacchaeus. That's what they thought. But that's so foolish. That is not the message of the Bible. I remember when I was saved, somebody was so foolish to say to me, well, I rang him up and I told him, that I'd come to know the Lord. And he listened for a while, waited until I'd finished saying everything. And then at the end of our conversation, he said, "So you're a Christian now? Oh, well, you were always such a nice person." That's what he thought. He wasn't right, of course. I wasn't a nice person. But that's what so many people think. Christians, they're nice people. Only nice people become Christians. Only nice people go to heaven. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not good people go to heaven. It's sinners saved by grace go to heaven. People who know and acknowledge that they are sinners and cry out for salvation, they're the ones who go to heaven. This is the message of the gospel. Look at verse 10 in chapter 19. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why he came. To seek and to save that which was lost. Lost sinners, in other words. Lost sinners. We are lost sinners, dear friends. Every single one of us by nature, that's how we were born. Lost sinners, rebels against God, those who threw off the authority of God, those who love their sins. We're lost sinners. You know, we're so lost that nobody would ever come to God unless God worked in them first. Do you realize that? That's how lost we are. Nobody would ever come to God if God didn't work in us first. Nobody would ever believe in the gospel. Nobody would believe in this. Nobody would ever put their trust in Christ. No one would ever believe that Christ 2,000 years ago suffered and died on the cross for their sin, died in their place as their substitute. No one would ever believe that unless God worked in them first. That's how lost we are. That's how sinful we are. God must work in us first. That's why a Christian, a true Christian, is so thankful to God. That's why a Christian is so thankful. He knows, he understands, "I was a sinner. I was a wretched sinner. I was heading for hell. I didn't care. I was heading for hell and I didn't care, but God saw me and he cared. He cared. He worked in me. He showed me my sin. He led me to repentance. He caused me to cry out for salvation. And I received the forgiveness of my sin, but only because of him. Only because he moved first. I was a lost sinner, but he saved me. I will forever praise him." That's what a true Christian is. A true Christian is not somebody who says, "I'm a good person, that's why God likes me." No, a true Christian is somebody who says, "I was a lost sinner, and God saved me." That's the message of the Bible. That's the true message, and we must understand it. But let's look at these last moments or last verses in the account concerning Zacchaeus. Well, verse 6, we read that Zacchaeus made haste and came down, received him joyfully. Verse 7, the crowd saw it, and they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But then verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Well, this is the repentance of Zacchaeus. This is the repentance. Christ has come into his abode, into his house. He has come into Zacchaeus' life. And now there is repentance. Zacchaeus will no longer steal. Zacchaeus will now make recompense to all the people that he's stolen from. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to remember this. This again is a very important teaching. The Lord Jesus Christ always leads us to repentance, to a new life. I say this because this is so often forgotten. It seems that modern Christianity, it seems to teach you can be a Christian, but, you can just still live as you please. You can be a Christian and you can still do the things that you did before you were Christian. You can still joke in the same way. You can still swear in the same way. You can still go out and have the same social life that you had. You can still get drunk. You can still engage in any lifestyle you want, even if you're a Christian. That's not the message of the Bible. The Bible teaches repentance. We change. The Lord always brings us out of our sin. It's like we are filthy. We are filthy in our sin. Somebody who truly loves us doesn't just leave us filthy and dirty in our sin. He washes us. He brings us out of our sin, changes us. And that's exactly the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave us in our sinful ways. He washes and cleanses us, because after all, dear friends, we are going to a clean and holy place. The Lord Jesus Christ is preparing us for heaven, a holy place. He can't just leave us in our sin here below. He's preparing us for that place where we will live forever, a place where there is no sin. So that's why he leads us out of it in this life. And as we mentioned before, he leads us out of sin so that every true child of God can demonstrate to others the power of God in one's life. How amazing it must be, it must have been, when people saw the new Zacchaeus, no longer a robber, but now a generous and kind and fair and just man. How amazing that must have been to see. Maybe that led to the conversion of other people. This Zacchaeus has met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's completely changed. There must be something in this Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful testimony that is. And so I make the plea again. You who are Christian believers, has God truly worked in your life? Have you ever led anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ through your conduct, through your conversation? If you haven't, well, then you have to examine yourself. Am I a true child of God? Have I truly repented of my sin? Has God really worked in my life? Or am I just somebody who says I'm a Christian, but the Lord is not there? Christ has never come and made his home in me. Dear friends, this is a challenge for each and every one of us, seekers and believers alike. The glorious account of Zacchaeus, so many things we could have mentioned, but may the Lord bless all that we have considered this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for such glorious things that we find in thy word. We thank thee for thy love shown to Zacchaeus. Lord, thou didst see his seeking heart, and thou didst find him, even when he was yet a long way off. O dear Lord, we pray for all seekers in our midst, even though that flame flickers but faintly. O dear Lord, stir them up by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that they may seek after thee, that they may be saved. And challenge us all as believers. Help us to live godly lives, that we may lead others to Christ. O Lord, forgive us, each and every one of us, each and every one of us, all our sin, and help us to live to thee. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.